The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It definitely settles in your soul. Totally settles in your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa, broadcasting live from KCNR. We are here in downtown Reading, and I am here with my good friend and co-host, Janet Chandler. How are you, Janet?
I'm good, and I'm here to talk about constitutions again.
Oh, is that okay to do here on this channel?
It has to be, because I'm going to hammer that into people until they start recognizing that constitution equals solutions and salvation.
It does. And we are waiting for Wynn Carpenter. I hope he's okay. I'm sure he'll be here soon. We're broadcasting live from KCNR 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, 1460 AM. If you have a question or a comment, 605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we are streaming live. And if you can't get this program, you can go back to the archives, and you can get this program anytime. You can listen to it anytime you want, because we archive forever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, and ever, don't we?
Which is usually the way I get this broadcast, because I'm not up in the morning.
That's right.
Yeah, afternoons are more fun for me.
Yeah, Janet has a motto, and that is that if the good Lord ever wanted her to see the sunrise, it would have risen at noon.
That's right. And what was that glow in the eastern sky this morning? I don't know. I was scared.
Yeah.
Thought maybe there was a fire.
Yeah. And she drove here. She certainly has courage to drive down that hill. And up it later isn't so bad. But in the morning, did you see any deer or any?
Deer aren't up at that time of the day. They know better. Deer sleep until 10, the same way I do.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing okay. How about you guys?
Oh, we're doing good. So anyway, today we're going to talk about constitutions. We're going to talk about, first of all, the red, white, and blueprint, which has been amazing, gaining ground all the time. It went on David Harris. Most of you know who David Harris Jr. is, and it went on David Harris Jr.'s page. This was Tuesday, and I was with my wife and her best friend at a Republican women's dinner in Glenn County, and I spoke there, and we got done. I got home. I think we got home probably about 9 o'clock, and David had already had 33,000 hits on the red, white, and blue trailer, and by the time I went to bed a couple hours later, it was 55,000. By the time I woke up in the morning, it was 156,000, and I've heard the last estimate was somewhere in the neighborhood of 500,000. That's just one outlet for the hundreds of outlets that we've had on the red, white, and blueprint. But it's been great, and people keep saying, you know, people not keep saying, but have said, what has this all got to do with Jefferson? What has this all got to do with apportionment and representation? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Constitution. We're going to talk a little bit about the Jefferson Constitution. But what we're going to talk about, first of all, is why is it important that the counties have latitude, flexibility, and how does that all equivocate down the road into better apportionment with more representation? Janet, my dear, I'm going to hand the ball off to you.
Well, you just mentioned the red, white, and blueprint. We have Open Shasta, which the coalition, which has been going on for months. We have the Shasta recall. We have a state recall. And what do they all boil down to? People are not happy with the way they are being represented. And that's what a constitution does. It shows the people their representation between them and the government. We need to make some changes. If we had better representation, we would have better government. And how do we get better representation? Well, we're not going to get it with 1 million people being represented by one senator in the state and 500,000 people being represented by one assemblyman in the state. We need smaller government, and you don't get smaller government in California.
And we do have a caller on the line, and you're right. We'll go back to that and talk about the counties and how important it is that the counties have the lion's share of the flexibility and the latitude. Ron, what say you, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I've got a question for Janet. I think she said we had the right to protect our property on another show. And, excuse me, I'd like to have you or somebody, I tried to call the show before you, but anyhow, I'd like to have somebody interview the female district attorney or the sheriff or the city chief and explain the rules of engagement. The district attorney said she can't give you counsel over the phone. But, you know, if somebody finds somebody in their backyard 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning and they're pushing off your son's $600 bicycle, you know, and you engage them, and if you use a weapon of some sort and you hit them or if you hurt them or cripple them, they have the right to sue you. So this is what's kind of on my mind. There's just things that happened to me in the very, very recent. Sometime if I talk to you, I'll tell you what's going on. And I'd like to know why we don't have the right to defend our property, even if they're in your backyard, and even if you come up behind them and hit them with your cane or a rolling pin or something, you're going to be in trouble. I'd like an explanation on that. I want rules of engagement from.
Well, I think Ron, I think you know the thing is that it is the sheriff and it is the district attorney you've got to talk to. Our district attorney is very evasive for one thing. She's evasive on just about every subject when you talk to her. It's usually not specific unless she's talking about how much workload they have or what's going on in the district attorney's office. And, oh, by the way, they had a big workload. And, oh, by the way, they need more people. And, oh, by the way, they're not – I mean, it's horrible, awful. And did I say horrible and awful? But the way I understand it, if you hurt that person unless they're – or go after that person unless they're threatening your life, your body, then you don't have the – you know, you can be in trouble for engaging them. And it's back ass word.
Yeah, this is why she kind of explained it to me. She can't give me counsel on the phone.
Yeah.
Like I said, I've tried to talk to the people. I tried to talk to the sheriff the other day and explain what does infringement mean? You shall not be infringed. Have him explain that. God, I'd like to get him. I'm so irritated about things that's gone on that. You know, once they get that power, they don't want to relinquish it. And our founding fathers paid for that in blood. And it's gone right on down through the First World War, Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. And the last installment of pay that I know of was 6 or 7 Marines and 1 sailor died.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been paid for. And they're going to make us pay for it in dollar bills. This is how a Second World War veteran explained it to me. And anyway, there's just a lot of stuff that.
I know. It's difficult, but we're gonna let Janet kind of caveat off into something else with that, because we're talking about is the power in the counties, and to a degree, what you're saying is that's exactly right. It all comes down to local. It all starts there. And you know, if we have representatives that would enforce the Constitution, that would actually know it. I mean, on some radio programs, you're not even allowed to mention the word practically. So you know, when you have a situation where you have your stuff being taken, and I know Nick Gardner has talked about, you know, he's had stuff that he's, you know, had stolen from him, and you know, where he lives, he's had some transient problems there, and the police sometimes, I mean, and I'm not taking anything away from their job or anything away from them or the sheriff's department, but you know, this whole political correctness that we have in California, everybody's afraid of being sued or in trouble. And it looks like, are you giving 1 minute, Win, or did you have something you wanted to add into this?
Could I add one more thing?
Sure.
Okay. If Janet could explain about our rights, I think she explained it one other time. Explain what we have as rights as citizens to protect our property. And that's where I'm coming from. I mean, the bandits are just overwhelming. You can't believe what they've taken from me. I mean, oh, my gosh.
Hey,
they took 4 welders the other night.
Ron, you just paid me the greatest compliment in remembering something that I have said. Thank you.
Well,
okay,
can you explain that and tell me where I can find it in the I finally got a Constitution book. There's a page number. If you can explain that to me.
All right, buddy.
Okay. Actually, the California Constitution is quite explicit, and I'm sorry I don't have the California Constitution right here in front of me, but I can quote what it says. And that's that you have certain inalienable rights, among which are enjoying and defending life, liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property. That is in the California Constitution. You have the right to protect your property. The problem is that our paid employees, such as our district attorney and our sheriff, don't necessarily go by the Constitution because it has become sort of the orphan child of government. And it is up to us to bring them back where they belong. And we do that by confronting them with the evidence in the Constitution. And if you look it up in the California Constitution, I do believe it's Article 1, Section 1. If not, it's right there close. So take that into her and show her that you have the right to protect your property according to the Constitution. And if she wants to give you an interpretation of that, you'd be happy to listen. Go in armed with the information, with the document, with the evidence. Get an explanation from her. Demand that she give you an explanation. She's your hired employee. You elected her to do a job, and you can fire her. And we can all do that. There are a lot of county officials with whom I'm not particularly happy right now, and when the next election comes around, they're going to have to answer to me, or I'm going to put a vote someplace other than by their names.
Or they may be gone.
They could be.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that, we have to go off to our first break. So if you have a phone call you want to make to us with a question or a comment, it's 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
We need to get it done.
Sooner than later.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
As restrictions continue to be lifted in Shasta County, many businesses are set to reopen, and KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and KCNR1460.com wants to help spread the word. So, if you are reopening your business, planning on opening a business for the first time, or are already open for business, KCNR has many advertising packages to choose from. Give us a call at 530-605-4565 and talk to a KCNR representative today. That's 530-605-4565.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about
So, Hatman, did you put the piano to that one?
Oh, yeah. Sally's got a good list today. I'm excited.
Yeah, she's always good that way. She's good with music. Well, she's good with a lot of stuff. I better be careful. She's good with everything.
She's not good at picking husbands. Did I say that
out loud? Oh, Wynn's here. Hey, buddy.
That was a good one.
Anyway,
just
yeah,
kidding,
so
just
this is called Jefferson State of Mind, a.k.a. Let's Abuse Raposa. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones right away because we have the phone lines lit up here. James, what say you, sir?
A.k.a. Let's Abuse Raposa. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones right away.
James, you need to turn off your radio.
Hello,
yeah,
James.
You're talking about a rich man at the gate. Yeah, well, the rich man at the gate, there's a lot of people that has too much to give to take a chance on losing these things. There's a reason why they settle for the vote. They wait for the vote to come in. And these politicians, they know they have so much time to do their damage because the elections, they wait for the elections. They have so much time to do their damage before the election come in. But, I mean, if you want to really change things, you know, the power is not going to give up their power. They're not going to give up their power. That's something like these schools. Like some of these schools, they say, when a guy said close the schools down, that's what you need to do. You know, you need to let these people know that you represent yourself. You're not going to wait to cast the vote. How much did the vote do for you last time?
You know, you make some good points there, my brother. You make really good points. And, you know, that's the deal here. I mean, people have to start standing up. The only thing a politician feels is pain. And I mean that metaphorically for the NSA that's listening to us. And what I mean by pain is the pain of losing the power you're talking about. That's why, you know, we've talked about, well, you know, before the court case Reynolds versus Sims, every county in California pretty much had a senator. And then, of course, that particular opinion in the Supreme Court came up with the one-man, one-vote thing. And then the L.A. County, which is one of 57, got 11 of the 40 senators. And again, it, you know, are those guys going to give up their power and say, hey, that's really not fair? Oh, no, we're going to go back to a senator per county. We're going to go back to the federal model of government where everybody is equally represented in our state Senate as it is represented equally in the United States Senate. I mean, you know, you're right about all that, my brother. And I mean, it's crazy, but we have to pray. We've got to stand. We've got to fight. So anyway, we have somebody else on the line. Thank you so much, James. And thanks for the call. Call again, my friend. Kay, what say you, my dear? Kay, turn off your radio, hon.
I did.
Good morning, Kay.
Good morning. I had a question and a suggestion. I was wondering why your red, white, and blue print is not on Gab. I've never done Facebook, and I will never do Facebook, but there's a lot of people on Gab that are conservative thinkers, and I put on there about the red, white, and blue print, and I had so many people say that they were interested in that. So, and I see that the trailer is on YouTube. I would suggest Rumble also.
Well, when you go to YouTube, you can also get the website for Red, White, and Blueprint.
Right.
Okay, so you can go right there, and then you can get hooked up. I'm not sure. I'm sure that everything that that is conservative media and almost everything that's every kind of media, I mean, is going to have things on the Red, White, and Blueprint.
Okay.
Because
I'd never seen it on Gab.
Well, maybe not yet, my dear, but I'm sure that they're looking into it.
I posted it, and I couldn't believe the amount of response I got to that.
That's great.
So, anyway, you have a good day.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you for calling, and calling again, please. And we're going to go to the other line, which is Rich. Rich, how are you this morning?
Morning, Rich.
Morning, everybody. I have a local constitutional scenario, and I'm sure Janet will have a response. finally got my citizen's arrest report back after 4 months. And, remember the news release said that dismissed due to lack of evidence, but the report actually reads every single charge that I alleged, they dismissed it because the governor's executive orders said they could violate the laws, and they cite the executive orders. I will be sending this report out far and wide for everybody to read because it's very interesting. So if Janet could talk about that, and I'll get out of here.
All right, buddy. Thanks again for the information. And, you know, I mean, that's just so unbelievable. It's just, I mean, these guys are doing everything they want to do, just doing it, whatever they want to do.
Well, there's another good reason to replace our district attorney, maybe the sheriff, whoever is coming up with these ridiculous statements. Maybe we ought to recall Governor Newsom. That's an idea.
Let's get started.
I see this all across the country. We are extremely upset with the last election. We have a pretender on the throne of government in Washington, D.C. At the state level, we have someone who should not be there, never should have been there, and we are in the process of removing. We are in the process of telling the people in Shasta County that we have hired that we're not happy with their performance. The people are speaking, and once you start that ball rolling, it's awfully hard to stop it. Because the people get educated. They find out that they are not just helpless. They don't have to sit back and do anything. You're doing something. Lori's doing things. We're doing something. Red, white, and blueprint. It's taking off. And it's so infuriating when you get a response like that, that someone is given permission to break the law. And we know it's happening. The rule of law is dead unless we revive it. And I have a couple of heart monitor paddles in my hand, and I'm ready to stick those on there and send some voltage through that government.
Well, you know, you're so right, Janet. And Richard went out there. He did things according to the law. He did the right things, and for them to dismiss it because of a government mandate, I mean, it's the same thing as Joe Comente saying, well, you know, there's a social contract. What social contract did you take an oath to, Joe? I mean, and people are saying, well, gee, why are you recalling these guys? Well, they break the law. They broke the Brown Act. You know, they followed illegal orders that were unconstitutional. And I know that we've been bringing up the California Constitution and how it does stand as that line in the sand where the government shouldn't cross, even though some people on the radio don't really want to hear those things. That's as far as I'll go. But anyway.
Chicken.
Well, I'm trying to get Janet going here. Nobody's ever seen Janet mad. Okay? If you guys think Opal's bad when she's pissed off, don't piss off Janet.
Yes, but I do it in such a refined and cultured way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah, sister, we know. You're talking to Terry and Wynn here.
I've watched you go after Terry.
I do have my limits, and I do get angry and upset, but I do also have a large vocabulary, so I have a lot of words that I can use instead of the ones that are commonly in use.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's funnier when you use the common.
Well, occasionally. Yes.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to go after this quick early break, then we're going to come back and we're going to discuss this, the connection between local government, state government, and then the Constitution.
Is there a connection?
There is.
Oh.
A huge connection. And Janet will fill that gap for you, my friend. Right. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
It's the Ramsey Show, talk radio where debt is dumb and cash is king. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way.
physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Great song.
Yeah.
Great song. I wonder if people who ride those little bicycles that have the engines on them that go 15 miles an hour, I wonder if that's a song they play in their headphones. As they buzz along at 15 miles an hour. Huh?
Poor Travis. All his hand signals and everything else, it's like he's the interpreter for Joe Biden. He just
oh, I saw that, too.
Gosh. Just race along. Hair blowing in the wind at 15 miles an hour. Get in the bicycle lane.
Got to touch a hat on backwards. There you go.
Okay. Janet, so we were talking about local government, how that feathers into state government, and how that feathers into apportionment. So, my dear, away you go.
Apportionment. That, you know, it's an interesting concept that doesn't get its just due. However, the founding fathers were extremely concerned about apportionment, and this is something we never hear. When they were coming up with the Bill of Rights, the first amendments to our Constitution, there was something called Article the First, and that became the most important thing to the founding fathers as a way to make sure that as the population grew, representation would also grow. And that was actually the first amendment to the Constitution, was just that. The more people in the country, the more representatives we would have in Congress. It actually went before the 13 states, and by the time they were finished, I think it was 15 states. It passed. It was ratified. Thomas Jefferson put it into the log of past amendments. And then the War of 1812 came, and it got lost. There it was, the key to representation. And it got lost. I'm not sure if it was lost on purpose or lost by accident, but Article the First duly ratified and never became part of our Constitution. And it would have increased the number of representatives as the population increased. So now we have this horrible problem. We have a country of, I don't know, 340 million people. We have 435 representatives. That's tragic. And in California, we have a population of 40 million, and we have 120 state senators and assemblymen. It is not representation because it is not apportionment. Now, think about those poor people who are supposed to be our representatives. They can't adequately represent us, and they know it, because there are too few of them and too many of us. They would like to talk to their constituents, but you can't talk to a million people over the course of your term of office. In Jefferson, we have taken steps in our Constitution to remedy that. We have a part of the Constitution that says, as the population grows, so will the number of representatives. And we're starting out with a more reasonable apportionment. We want to have, well, ideally, 2,500 people for every representative. That may not be practical, but certainly no more than 12,500. Even Thomas Jefferson said that when you get above that number, you don't have a republic, you have tyranny. They knew it was a problem. So it has to be addressed. It's one of the things that our country depends on, and sooner or later, they're going to have to go back and look at that article, the first, and see why it is not now in our Constitution.
Hey, Janet, quick question. Those states that ratified it, how many states were in the country at the time when this was ratified? Do you know?
Well, it kept changing as the ratification took place.
Okay.
So it started out with 13, and I think by the time the ratification on it was done, I think there were 15, because we had new states enter.
Okay, and so we had we had 15 states at that point. How many ratified? Did they all, or just a handful of them?
Did not all, but it was three-fourths.
Three-fourths had done it. At that point, three-fourths had done it.
Yeah, it actually qualified, and Thomas Jefferson duly noted it. I think he was Secretary of State at the time.
Okay.
And he duly noted that that had been ratified, and then it got lost.
When this brought up again, and Eugene Laverne took it to the Supreme Court, got all the way to the Supreme Court with it, when it was brought up again, they had found some writings of Thomas Jefferson and some copies that he had made of the vote, and it was a hand ledger that he wrote out, and they found a copy in Kentucky and in Connecticut, in those two states, which was interesting. Janet did, I think, about a year ago, I think she came on and did a program on Articles of First.
Yeah, at the Patriots meeting, and it was more like two.
Did you ever come on the radio and do that?
No. It did not.
Okay, because I thought we had something on that. But what we'll do is we'll have a show to where Jenna will come in and we'll discuss it, because it's such an interesting concept. I mean, it really was the First Amendment until they changed it, of course. But the thing is that when you look at everything that's going on now and how a state is in a position to where, again, states are synonymous with country. When Jefferson mentioned the state of Virginia, he said it's likened to the state of Spain, the state of France, and the state of England. And Janet, there's something in the Constitution of Jefferson. It's sovereignty under the 10th Amendment, and I think that's an important point. And you want to talk about the sovereignty that we would have in the state of Jefferson? If you could address that, I think that was really something good.
You bet. We thought the Constitution for Jefferson was pretty much done. And then over the last year, it has come to our attention that we need to put some things in there for our protection that we did not think were necessary. And one of them, as Texas and Oklahoma and some other states are now doing, we need to actually declare in our Constitution that the state of Jefferson, the state of California, are sovereign. We are individual countries. We have the standing of France and Germany and Japan. The California, and when we have Jefferson, will be its own country. It has sovereignty. And the 10th Amendment says that, only it gets ignored. Under the state of Jefferson, we are going to require that the federal government will only have power over those delegated, enumerated powers that are given to them in the Constitution. Yeah, I'm seeing a bunch of constitutions being pulled out of back pockets around here. And we're not going to recognize any federal legislation that says the states have to comply or they won't get money or they'll be criminally or civilly sanctioned. We are countries. We gave to the federal government certain enumerated jobs, and that's all they can do. They don't have the right, frankly, to make drug laws. Where in the Constitution does it give the federal government the right to make laws about drugs? How about education? Not in there either. It's not a delegated power. If you want a list of the enumerated delegated powers, look in Article 1, Section 8. And if you want the four general delegated powers, look at the last paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. They're all there, and that's it. There are no enumerated powers under the Commerce Clause, and there are no enumerated powers under the Welfare Clause. So any legislation that takes place is invalid, it's null and void, and it's up to the states to nullify any laws that do not follow the Constitution.
That's so well put, and, you know, it's exactly what we're talking about here when we talk about local government and talk about the boards of supervisors. You know, they are actually following laws that are not legal, and they are not legal because
they're not lawful.
They're not lawful. You're right. You know, in actuality, there is things that are law that aren't legal, and things that are illegal that are not lawful. And that's what Janet's...
The difference is, it's legal if it has been passed by a legislature. But it's not lawful if that legislature is not following the Constitution.
Right, exactly. And that's such a great point, Janet, because, you know, as you look at the local governments, I mean, right now the control in local governments, in the counties, the control of the money that we pay in our property tax goes to Sacramento, and we only are really allowed to spend about 13% on these things that we can spend the money on, which is the public safety, which is just called discretionary spending. There's 87% that's mandatory spending that the state mandates that you have to do there. And Wynn has had a great remedy for that on what we do in the counties.
Yeah, we just keep our tax dollars here locally. And then once we have funded our programs in the county as we see fit by the county, then we can send on whatever the balance may be, if any, to Sacramento, and then they have to make do with whatever we send them. And if all 58 counties in the state of California did that, don't you think we'd bring those legislative bodies, everybody else down there to their knees? Because then they wouldn't have all the money to pay all these special interest groups. They wouldn't have to, and also get money from them as well, and to totally screw us over, to be blunt.
And,
so
mm-hmm.
we need to make sure that we get control, and the only way we're going to have control is through the purse strings. We have control with the purse strings for local and the vote. And if we got that under control from the get-go, don't you think we're going to make a headway and news all over the state and the country? I think we would.
Yeah.
Wow. Wait. I'm looking through my Jefferson Constitution, and I think that's how it says it in the Jefferson Constitution.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And there is a new movement in the country. It is started by Robert David Steele. You can go look him up online, and he has aligned with Sheriff Richard Mack, with Constitutional Sheriffs Association, and they are forming Constitutional Pastors Association, Constitutional Lawyers Association, and Constitutional Counties Association, and that's what they are advocating, is that the counties have control of the purse strings. They collect the money, they spend the money on county projects, and they send a certain amount to the state to take care of state business. But it's the counties who get to control that wallet and dole out the allowance to the state.
And that's where it should be controlled.
Exactly.
I mean, we have a vote for our local representatives, and if we don't like the way they're spending the money in our county, we have every right to say so. And if we really don't like what they're doing and they keep doing stupid stuff like we are experiencing, then one of the methods of control into taking things back is to vote them out of office, whether it's just at the regular election or at a recall if their term is still long enough that we need to get them out of there. So there are processes that we have that we are able to use, and we need to exercise those processes.
And on a Tuesday morning, I can drive down to Court Street and attend the Board of Supervisors meeting, and I can stand there and look them in the face, sort of, if the plastic shield isn't reflecting back at me, and I can tell them what I think. Yeah. And if I see them in town, I can walk up to them and say, "You're doing this wrong." I have no control like that over my state legislators. What am I going to do, drive down to Sacramento and yell at them from the visitor's gallery?
Yeah, you know, and this Tuesday, folks, this coming Tuesday is a Board of Supervisors meeting.
I believe so.
Yes. And there's
it's hard to tell sometimes their calendar is yeah. like, it's so holy. It looks like Swiss cheese. They don't always have a meeting on Tuesdays.
Well, as far as I know, and this will be the first Tuesday that they have had a meeting since the Red, White, and Blueprint trailer came out. And also, hopefully, there'll be some movement on a Second Amendment resolution. Now,
didn't they have a meeting on Tuesday, this past Tuesday? I thought they did.
They did not.
No.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And hopefully they'll discuss that. You know, the resolution, does have political clout in the fact that we're gonna see, you know, who stands with the Second Amendment. And some of you people who are saying, gee whiz, you know, we don't really think a recall is the right thing to do. And, at this point, I don't even see how you can think that it's possibly even an option that a recall is not the right thing to do. I mean, obviously you weren't out there with those hundreds of people and those moms and those children. They were made to stay outside the Board of Supervisors meeting in the heat, during the Zog fire, in the smoke, while the supervisors sat in there, collected their paychecks, while a lot of these young moms' husbands were out of work or they had their businesses closed. I mean, it's just appalling what's going on here. And they knew the truth. They knew the truth 3 months going in. They knew the truth. They kept it up to get the money. And as Wynn and Janet just explained, when the county controls the money, we aren't beholden to the state for the money because it's our money anyway. We aren't beholden to them. We give them enough money so they can operate as a state.
And I'm ready to draw those lines. I have a list for my district of why I want to recall my supervisor. And I do not consider that they are light and transient reasons. I thought very carefully about them. And I think for all of the supervisors that we want to recall, we also have some very serious cause. They have, for one thing, they've failed to listen to us. It's like the little kid, mommy, 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 and mommy just keeps shoving them away. Well, I'm through being shoved away.
Are you comfortable in going through that list? Because we can take a quick break, and then you can go through the list. Are you comfortable with doing that?
Sure.
Outstanding. Okay, we'll take a quick break here, and then we will come back, and Janet's going to go through that list of why we must recall the supervisors. Time has come.
351.
Let's get it done.
Turtle Bay Exploration Park is back open for exploration. See the West Coast Biennial Art Exhibition featuring diverse pieces by artists up and down the West Coast. Enjoy the Visible River Aquarium, Caverns Exhibits, Parrot Playhouse, and more. There's something for everyone to discover at Turtle Bay.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Today we're talking about Trinidad's Espiritu Series No. 2. Crafted with tobaccos from Brazil and Nicaragua and wrapped in an Arapiraca leaf, Espiritu No. 2 produces a harmonious medium to full-bodied cigar with extraordinary zesty complexity and earthy notes. Come by the shop and pick up your Trinidad Espiritu No. 2 today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Turtle Bay Annual Auction is going virtual. Now everyone can take part in bidding on exciting items and supporting Turtle Bay. Bidding begins March 11th. Tune in for the live virtual watch party March 20th on Facebook Live or YouTube. Go to turtlebay.org and click the online auction banner to register and learn more.
Well, it's all riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all
It's all right. Terry's got all tangled up in the
microphone. I did. I was tangled up.
I almost
got choked to death.
That's what you get for making fun of me.
Anyway, Janet, you were talking about the reasons why you believe you should call your supervisor. Who is your supervisor?
I live in District 3, so Mary Rickert is my supervisor.
Okay, so shoot away, my dear.
Some of these are specific for District 3, and some of them go for the entire county. I'm not saying that Mary has not done things while she is in office, but I think she has been following her own agenda at the expense of the agenda of some of her constituents. And I know that she has been very interested in mental health issues and the homeless issues, and that's fine. But there are things that she should have been paying attention to that do not involve that. We have an airport in Fall River Mills, MacArthur, it's sort of halfway between, called Tonkin Field. It is an absolutely wonderful possibility for commercial traffic, commercial industry. There have been people who went to the Board of Supervisors and talked to them about Tonkin Field, and they were completely shut down. This is her district. She should be fighting for that. She has not. She has not been communicating well with her constituents over the Fountain Ridge Windmill Project. Now, she says that she cannot express an opinion because then that would show bias. I do not agree with that, but if that is her stand, that's fine. But she should be talking to her people about the issue without taking a stand. I can certainly conduct a dialogue and a conversation about an issue without saying this is what I'm going to do. Talk to the people in Jones Valley about water issues. How many decades do they have to wait? How many supervisors do they have to go through before someone takes them seriously and helps them solve the issue? And they have been dealt with dirty by the county. There was a bridge in Fall River. 5-6 years ago, it became so bad it needing repairs that they closed the bridge. And finally, the people outcry was so bad that they made some temporary repairs so that at least car traffic could use the bridge. And the county said, well, we've had the money to replace the bridge. We're just in the process, and it could take 7 years. Well, we are now 5-6 years into that 7 years, and there is no progress on a new bridge. Why not? Mary, this is your district. And then the general ones, the complaints we have about all of the supervisors. They have not opened up businesses in Shasta County. Businesses hurt, and they have been hiding from that issue. So, well, we're doing what the state says we should do. And Mary even said, I was warned by the state not to step out of line. We'll get in trouble. Wait a minute. You took an oath of office. Where is that oath? To protect the Constitution. No, I would rather kiss up to the state and get money from them and follow their directives instead of do what's best for the people of Shasta County. They have refused to attend board meetings, not facing their constituents. To me, looking at a screen at the picture of a supervisor is not the same as being able to confront them, face them, and deal with issues. The economy of Shasta County has declined terribly badly because they have been afraid to do something that might upset the state. I mean, shoot, even the courts have gone against Gavin Newsom. Certainly four supervisors in Shasta County can stand up to them. We have it on tape. Mary has spoken disrespectfully to the people who have come to her to complain and to give their opinions. Disrespect to your constituents does not keep your job.
Thus saith the Janet.
That's it.
You bet. And absolutely ditto to all that. You know, the violation, especially, and you were talking about the virtual meetings. I mean, Leonard Modi gets up and walks away. He turns his monitor off, you know, and specifically, we have the right, according to the California Constitution, to scrutinize these meetings. And at one point, the Board of Supervisors stated that we no longer could have comment on agendized items. Now, I've never heard of that before, and I talked to a person who was a supervisor and said, you know, Comenti actually did that. You can only speak to the board in open comment at the very beginning. It used to be that when you would go for open comment at the very beginning of a board meeting or a city council meeting, that you would not address an agendized item, because you do have the opportunity to do that during the agendized item. Once we called them on that, we showed them where it was in the California Constitution. They did change last week, or last meeting, they did change it to where they have now, it was a vote of 5-0, by the way, where they have public comment on agendized items. You know, but these are some of the things, the draconian things that they've done. To me, I still have the vision of those young moms outside in the smoke, in the heat, being allowed in one at a time, standing, I don't know, what, 30 feet, 40 feet from the front of the building, where the supervisors were seated, air-conditioned, in comfortable chairs, while they made people stand outside in the heat, their employers outside in the heat. It's all about respect. A lot of it is, you know, yeah, it's respect. Because you must respect the people that you serve. And they clearly don't respect us. There clearly is some things that we have on tape where they have called one particular young lady crazy because of her comments. The comments were not rude. There was nothing out of line about her comments. She has the freedom of speech to say what she said. I mean, are we going to allow this? And this whole thing about keeping things closed still is just, it's beyond the pale.
I think that the old commercial for a cell phone company, I think it was, should be the theme song for our recall. Can you hear me now?
Uh-huh. Amen.
You know, and I think that what we need to do Tuesday, we need to go in, and if you have something that you believe needs to be said, or an issue with your district, an issue with the way that we're being represented, you need to show up at the Board of Supervisors meeting and use that 3 minutes that you have in the beginning. And I would just implore you to be respectful, but why are you thanking, at the end, your employees for allowing you to speak? I mean, people actually say that. Thank you for allowing me to speak. When it's your right to speak. You're not being disrespectful. But thank you so much. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Seriously? Well, if you let them treat you like a subject and a serf, they will. If you let them treat you like a slave with no rights, they will. And during the agendized items, if you have an agendized item you want to speak on for 3 minutes, insist that you do it and stand up and do it.
Amen.
It's time to take back, and the way we do that is by knowing what is in the contract. We have a contract. At the federal level, the contract is between the states. That's the federal constitution. In California, the contract is between the people and the state, the counties and the state. Know what's in that contract. Don't let them violate that contract, and if they do, abrogate it.
Amen.
Absolutely. You know, and as we move ahead here, and we start looking it more in depth into the Jefferson Constitution, which we will over the coming weeks, it's very important that we understand that the state is too big.
Yep.
We need to divide it at least two ways. I know my good friend Carlos Zapata has suggested four, but it's going to be up to the people. I mean, I can see Northern Jefferson, Southern Jefferson, and the state of Madison. I know I keep going back to Madison.
He is
the father of the Constitution.
There you go.
But whatever it takes, but we have to take back our government. And as Janet put so eloquently, the contract we have with the state of California is by the people. It's by the people. The people have the power. We don't need to thank or grovel or do anything to these people that are not representing us, and these people that are treating us like serfs and slaves.
Amen.
Janet, my dear.
Thank you.
We withdraw our consent for reasons that are not light and transient.
Amen.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. It's not our bill. We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.